for doing three distinct parts. And thanks very much to Tom for accompanying me.
There it is.
Never knew she was a girl. Bullock. Fatty Bullock. She watched the humans, boys and girls, where they went, what they wore. Boys and girls deserved nice things. Boys learned to be boys from other boys. Girls learned to be girls from other girls. Fatty Bullock learned to be Fatty Bullock from those worthy boys and girls who assumed the right to persecute her with brutish taunts and savage sniggering. Fatty Bullock knew she deserved to suffer. From those precious humans she learned shame. Boys met girls, girls met boys. Together they did boy-girl things. Fatty Bullock remained in her room and stared hard at the wallpaper. And I need to walk on water. And I need to fly, and I need to know my 12 times tables backwards. And I need to walk on water, and I need to fly, and I need to travel round the world on foot. And I need to walk on water. And I need to fly, and I need to speak 67 official languages, fluently. And I need to walk on water, and I need to fly, and I need to understand the law of relativity this week. And I need to walk on water, and I need to fly, and I need to run a 3-minute mile today. And I need to walk on water, and I need to fly, and I need to know the history of the human race comprehensively. And I need to walk on water, and I need to fly, and I need to cry. Wild blue swan, no fly, climbed up trees to sit in small birds' little nests, till shooed down, shy, plopped to the earth again, and waddled waywardly. Wild blue swan, no swim, dangled her wader in the water, till truly good white swans giggled so loud that blushing purple she away turned and trundled. Wild blue swan, no mummy, a lonesome child forsaken also by her daddy. Blue was a bold thing to be in swanland. Wild blue swan, sang lavender lovely songs and told red rolling stories to the dandelions who clapped their leaves in glee. Wild blue swan found rabbit friends and squirrel chums, laughing games not with birds, but skip and hop and creep and crawl creatures who loved wild blue swan, for bird of blue beauty was she.
Next up tonight we have John O'Donovan.
I was told I was too loud the last time, so I might stand back a bit further. Okay, so, sorry, how many should I read? Three? One?
We have three and a half.
Hold on. When somebody famous dies, it's not exactly fashionable to be concerned for them. But at the same time, it's not exactly an offence either. And in the wake of Heath Ledger's death, although I was never hugely attached to his work, maybe 10 Things I Hate About You was probably the closest I ever got, thanks to my first cinema day. In the wake of that, it was just running on my mind and stuff, and I address this poem. I start off, I use John in this, my first name is John, because I used to find in my diaries when I'd want to distance myself from negative criticism that I might use against myself, I'd always use the second person. And when readers read the first person, they might feel too attached to it. So this time I use John, even though it's pompous to do third person, I thought it's the only way to not escape from the criticism that I wanted to level at myself in the wake. Okay, good. Okay. John thinks he wants bohemia, but would more days off suffice? John thinks that he wants freedom. Is it the freedom to purchase he craves? John thinks he wants to move to Paris, but would quality coffee save him? As I cast the first shadow since October, and feel again the winter sun turn spring, I am astonished by the options life can offer. But I read a book suggesting that I read every book to ever pinch a precious soul. Then saw, of all things, the sun come out. And now I am frustrated by the lack of poetry my life provides. In New York, and after, I couldn't help but half admire Dives. The papers then describe his overdose festering down amidst the bohem of his lifestyle, and I feel sad. Yet the sun has barely set upon Manhattan when the MDs of banal pathology, the PhDs of bland vistas, decide the case for suicide. In newsprint chat, I am a twisted knot of scorn. John thinks he wants enlightenment. Would silence seem as sweet? Contemplating travel, supreme paradox, sitting back across the hope of bland vistas, lonely planet, lonely man, the thousand places I must see before I die, the thousand deaths I'll have to die before I see. That turn of phrase, like winter sun turned spring, wakens me to the comedy of my anguish. I am in the middle of a verse, in the middle of a city, in the middle of an ocean, in the middle of a universe that has no middle. I'm dislocated, a disappointing center. I am middling. I am the Cartesian revolution. Trickster exaltation. Thought is action. I am an unbroken mirror on an overcast night. Muted TV. I am the list of books I want to read, but frankly never will. John thinks he needs some time to think. perhaps he thinks too much.
Thank you. And next we have the blue man, Aaron Lewis.
Hey! This is a poem by a friend of mine, it's not very tasteful, but anyway. I saw Jesus ingesting smack. I said, "It's the killer." He said, "I'll be back." We do an open creative writing course every Monday morning from 10:30 to 12:30 in here with an English guy called Adam Myers. And I've been doing the class now for over a year, and I think it's helped me anyway. So it's helped a lot of other people. We did an exercise today where we had to write a poem about something that annoyed us or something. We had to bring out bit of anger in our poetry. So here it is. Man's greed and soldier's bloodlust going hand in hand, killing for nature's black blood in this barren land. Mercenaries going, some for money, some for hate. Another man's death on your hands is not a pleasant fate. I'm a 12-year-old Iraqi child, I learned to make a bomb, so I can send these occupying forces on their way home. I'm a mother who's lost a husband, a father and a son. I woke up on Friday morning, the war had just begun. They come with their grenades, machine guns and mortars too. Non-violence is a way, we lose more than just a few. It's easy to justify a war when you're sitting in your pool or driving your BMW X5 to take the kids to school. So next time you're at the pump to take your pollutant fill, think of all the death and black blood that's being spilled. That was a heavy one there, but I'm going to try something that I've never tried before on stage, and I'm just going to go wherever I'm going. So last night I was sitting in my room and I had my microphone next to me and I just started to come up with words, and that's what I'm going to do now. It's in present moments where we sit together and share the moments that allow us to be free. We are unique, we are special. We are the anointed ones in this world of form. It takes courage to be oneself, to truly live out the life that we are destined. Who are we? Where are we going? What is this material world that we're living in? What is our path? Who are we? Where are we going? Who are we to be? Thank you.
Can we have the Mary O'Connell, please?
Could I just say, I don't know if I or she was, just how much I loved Eileen's reading. It was just well, now that we're all in credit crunch and under the subprimes and all of that, I am giving you this little offering. It's called Commercial Breakdown. My toe on the property ladder got burnt in an overheated market. The day when, to coin a phrase, I was flush on a roll, high on LSD, are long gone. Now that the euro has gained currency, mark my words, we are undergoing a chastening change for the worse. My assets are frozen. My credit is nil. The taxman the sadist. And while I'm sure the marquis the sad was often strapped for cash, in a world where money talks, I must go without saying.
All right, here's just some questions on version this book half an hour ago, but it doesn't have a title. Your footprints, like exclamation marks, punctuate the stones and grass that carve different steps for hillsides, the foothold hills that bear your name. Fascinated by the movement of every tree on the wind chartered branches, a brief hiatus like a colon, like breath, that fights on this dying tide. For such exercise, transport, thought, framework of maps and folklore, the smallest of dreams that I was born to capture and kill, no mercy spared, not fast and strong as I used to be. What question mark is this? What type of inquiry justifies a fading way? The blood mystery each defines solitude and purposeful direction. The landscape you do not lead me to. The territory of my own good. Where the only animal cries and each other is a nation. Just another one I wrote, it's called Garden Furniture. After three bottles of vodka, most could be on the patio furniture. Not so you. Words oozing between concrete slabs, testament to economic growth. And three bottles of vodka and the sun. Make sure there's trouble, for this pen lasts only so long as you can stand on both feet. Not to mention human danger. You can't be afraid of being even. Bottled insanity. Access to exhilaration. Walking through vice. A system of getting wasted. For football looks better on in dark. A self-loathing prophecy. A relegation zone being time to shift. A sanctuary temporary breakdown service. Extermination turning foolish. Television fills the gap. Like Scooby-Doo to solve the mystery. I stand in the prisoner. I'll be seeing you. Go put your boots on, bitch. Food is the right thing. For yourself, at least. On shining terrace. Using Mr. Sheen on your pace. For that ultra-terrible look. Can I give you a drink? Another vodka, please.
Okay, it's last call and we have 10 votes and 30 minutes. So 3 minutes each. Anyway, last call and the next person is M. Pate.
It does not twinkle. It's like a torch. It does sprinkle to high heaven. That's what I did. That's long ago. And others that I will not mention. This is not a starving Irish urchin. This is not a traumatized Irish war casualty. This is Irish, Peter. Well fed, well healed. Well, well, well.
And next up we have Bree Buckley.
If Stella and Dora were ever to meet, would they stop for an hour and get a bite to eat? Would they or wouldn't they order the meat, be humble as also in discussing their feelings? If Stella and Dora were ever to glance at one another and set out for a dance, would their love be born out of fate or chance? Would their love be bound by ring or by land? If Stella and Dora's love watches sparkle for rust, Dora ran from the cellar, Stella locked up her trust. Would eyes always glitter in light of love stuff? Would all else outside be a castaway cuss? But where needs must, though there be not love, there is lust. Life escaping from under the cellar door will be but a shadow, but a shadow is more than nothing.
And next up we have Paddy Doyle.
Two poems. The first one is from a little poem. A little poem to his mom. Between the trees, the moon is full. The skies are packed with snow. The leaves are listening on the trees to those who pass below. A gentle breeze begins to stir the shadows on the ground. It is in moments such as these that little poems are found. Awesome. Give me wings that I may rise above these woods to where that hawk stands majestic in the sky. Hover there with effortless artistry, wings caressing the wind with perfect articulation. Not a flicker of thought to separate my instincts from my actions. With ease of impulse I would rise, make daring twists and turns of phrase, soar, swoop, glide, free fall through the spinning air, down, down, down into the woods below, snatch my startled self and rise again, triumphant through the trembling air. In the sky, I would find the certainty that these woods hide from me. Down here, my thoughts get tangled, like the brambles twisting through the undergrowth as I track blindly about without reason or rhyme, dead leaves swallowing the thud of my earthbound feet, words treading heavily across my tongue as I trudge on through tired confusion, stopping only now and then to sit to catch my breath, to sit and rest on the ground between my thoughts, to rest and rise above the trees to where that hawk stands majestic in the sky. Soar, swoop, glide, behold the world through hawk heightened awareness, and for an all too fleeting moment spread my wings across the immeasurable freedom of being human.
And next tonight, Gillian Madden.
Done my pet poem tonight, but I didn't have some of them a couple of times before. Anybody who might have listened to some of my pieces before, this is actually quite different, I think. You know whether you think that or not, or whether it's better or worse. But I've got no title for it. The working title for it is basically just New Stuff Number 4. but it's kind of a different direction. So, Lucif, number four. Turning over episodes in my mind, on my progress to review my time back to the beginning, I am bending back and forth, disguising panels, and revisiting fallen petals of bygone eras, which has the character of world events. Never impartial in recorded script, I try to see through the line what passed for my official life file, complete with photos from appropriate selected moments of fact. As I teleport myself back eons after the original, mingled moments of an individual history, a thorough but futile measurement of facts in disarranged contexts. Already being given another layer of dishonesty, featuring the many characters and symbols of a private turmoil, I have a narrative for me. But it is the inversion of fate and the storage of truth. Placed back to back, images and reflections are curving in an ellipse. So furtively, I approach one person's introduction, not now bound by exact chronology. I came to realize that time itself is ideological. So as a boy, a man, a traveller or a searcher, facing home truth, turned over slyly, the voyage of a person's life, a tale that ends up crashing on foreign shores. Whether this is effort, remiss, or wrong, I admit only to this. What was escaped once can be escaped once more. Then as I return to now, mixing back into this world, I am blended.
And next we have Alan Coakley.
Ed, that was a grand one, but that I thought would hear my friend. No, optimistic. Sort of. No, I didn't.
So,
what's that? Yeah, so this is called Undeath. To create, we must destroy, and so in living, we soon die. When it happens, I will give way, or sway with happiness into the next world, or none. Done. Okay, well, all done well, I'm going to be a father in a couple of months. Yeah, I can't be sure. Anyway, I'll just stop by way of introduction at this point, but also, I don't know, do people know about SAD, you know, seasonal affective disorder?
Yeah.
Like, I seem to suffer some kind of reverse, because I usually, I don't like this time of year at all, like, for the windy and rainier, the happier I am, but anyway, this is called Summer Dreams. So, nobody mourns the passing of spring, except me. As our days angle towards their utmost arc of happiness, and yet I mourn the passing of the promise of what was to come today. And there's a baby on the way. Surely my springtime is over. The summer brings a caring dawn in her belly. And I am awake, alive, and alert. The illusion of my carefree youth gives way to care. The world makes no promises, but delivers our dreams.
Okay, so the next person up is Billy Randall.
Yay! Hi,
is the poem, Villanelle, in fact, inspired by the second worst question a man can ever hear, which is, do you think we work better as friends? The first is, if you have to ask what the first is. Thank you very much for that. That wasn't at all, it was did you bring back the video last night? But this is a connoisseur. When it came to happiness, she was a gourmet, a connoisseur of small moments and extravagance. Like a hummingbird, free of jazz, she floated away. She wasn't immune to love, but her need to stay on top of things meant she didn't crave romance when it came to happiness. She was a gourmet of the ungraspable nose, savoring on the spot without delay, while the rest of us retreat at a bitter distance. Like a hummingbird, free of jazz, she floated away. I envy her, of course, which isn't to say her dance, her casual way, didn't leave me in a trance. When it came to happiness, she was a gourmet. To recognize contentment was her gift, her forte, sipping the nectar from selected instants like a hummingbird. Free of jazz, she floated away from me with the old line, is there anything I can say to make this easier for you? Not a chance. When it came to happiness, she was a gourmet. Like a hummingbird, free of jazz, she floated away. Thanks.
This is called Grass, then Face for a Go, and I'm terrified that the Fianna Fáil are going to get it sometime.
Which they will.
6 years, maybe 100 years, but they will get it. It's called Grass, and it's got nothing to do with 60s or stuff that's been promoted. It's just ordinary green stuff that grows. I want the grass to grow through my soul, make lace for my boots. Old grass that will know my feet and say that someday will be moss. And in the dark winter, when the wind blows and bends the long roots, I will have a place to go for green solace and never bright green glass. Called Depending on the Sea. I depend upon the sea with every tide that comes to my door. I depend upon the sea to be my guide in what I'm looking for. I depend upon the sea to bring me poems that I shall feel. I depend upon my friend the sea, she owns the contents of the trees. I depend upon the sea to bring me questions that need no answers. I depend upon the sea to hide all reasons for impending chances. I depend upon the sea to take its time and browse through the pages of its authors. I depend upon the sea to engulf my house and bring down my papers and drown my papers. And when the sea depends on me to be its cargo, just let its sweet music be for me a slow, sweet largo.
And next of the mic we have Eugene Colin.
Oh. easier to take the dark out of the night, the light out of the day, the green out of the grasses, than to end our friendship. Oh, my fair heads to send. We cupped our hands and howled at the moon, made green hay, honey scent.
Again, I walk alone along the viscous sand and pause to cast a stone beyond the spit of land. A stretch of evening beach, that lonesome, horror's lonesome call, the lack of empty speech as scented shadows fall. And at low tide, the feel of sponge between my toes and green crabs gently steal beneath their seaweed clothes. A splash, you spin, too late you spot concentric rings, perhaps the buoyant skate beyond low water springs. Vacated moorings mark sea's unpredictive mood and seasonal slipway start where dinghy folk had queued. Deep ledge of rocky dome where free range mussels grab in freehold shelly home. The first is hermit crab. Shy bait compressed and dread, a cul-de-sac dismay, 180 turn instead, leaves room to get away. A dainty wader bird, his rapier stabs so quick, to a gull he looks absurd, she's yet to learn his trick. Mature, fear heads conceal, reversed inside his cave, the razor to the eve, I did have one close shave. Small fjord of magic spells, the final waves refrain, assorted layers of shells, sluiced well beyond the stain. A sconce of seascape sun, shards squinting to and fro, his opaque prisms run, their pyrotechnic show. Inside the harbour's mouth, a brace of rocks portray the danger all about, unlit till break of day. Thank you.
Okay. Which one of you want to come first? We have Alan and we have Jean. No, we'll have a vote. Who has been voted? So, Jean first, up together. Mr. Alan Pitley and Jean Barry.
Abused in the translation, you know, the way
that's the way to do it. Okay,
it's a poem called Clothesline. It's for separated fathers. I would walk to my gallows once weekly and feed the rope with single men and witness the gawking families unilaterally waving the many colours of unity's insults.
Julingri Crown Rochta, Wurta Tachin of Chahin and Taed, the Sudan Farshingil, of Romamach, Tailig of Yukhoich, the Grovas, Kertacha the Good Maslia Groha, of Orum the Gath Dark Queen's Fair.
They would do it without moving or speaking, without even knowing the pain they had infused, marrow-bound, a line of useless drones out of sync with family matters.
Gan hiep, gan ro, nienta ye, gan chor, gan chaint, e gan it, dom arin pain a chwrsi y sfiam, go smyr na smwthoch, gam e gan ra a moyo fein, gan down a chwr yn clynia.
Us was parked in every garden that wasn't ours, dancing all day in wind that ceased to live in what seemed to be the only lifeless garden. Rainbows of stories sticking out their tongues.
Shingna in a stacking ach gordine, nordling, a rink of a theatre or a lyre of lashing, a mochog in a discan shiog, bow teha good theatre, a rob givach a janna.
We never did the feeding of the nylon, nor the retrieving of the tens. Eyes set down from conversations at both boundaries that were linked to what we now knew as a family.
Near Yinwer and Hedi is a who, not on Glantachon, Hathagon on Bowl, Suida a Gaulam Toriach and a Painter on Dishkin Hung of Yako, than Tach, than Tyloch, than Winter.
Everybody beyond our ditches seemed to gel with the laughter of coal bunkers and barbecues, to continue the unfinished over the flapping icons that waved them inside their kettles.
Covid just ended in the end of the cale, then a mori barbecue, then a dabber of stoli kashtine. Last month our good kahacha, then she got a smeded and a good merry vegan stream, that stig dali, a noon for Spain.
I'm going to read something cheerful after that. This actually is another translation within the old translations about a dog death, just to cheer you up. It's actually a poem by a 17th century Irish poet who was somewhere in Skull, somewhere in Rome, who was the son of Hugh O'Neill, who was a great Irish leader who fought against British imperialism, English imperialism, in the 17th century, and he discovered this skull in some church in Rome, and of course he starts, as the Irish do, started thinking about death and destruction and all of that. So you have to imagine him a bit like Lascio Yorick looking at the skull. I wonder in the original Irish, this is my own translation. Hey, you who see my skull, don't think of what you will. Don't be ignorant, but come here. I'm the head of Hugh O'Neill. I'll give you a short lesson, just for what it's worth. Warmongers lose out, every bit of those who love too much. Promises are usually false. We fall for every single trap. You think it is the very truth, but it is mostly a crock of crap. We want money because we're poor. We want clothes, because we've not a stitch. Happiness, what the hell is that? Life sucks, it's just a bitch. Tomorrow promises the all, but on the last day it's diddly squat. The whole taboo is a pack of lies. This life stuff, forget the lot. I was one of O'Donnell's crew, all of O'Neill's wealth I was worth. A true son of Ulster all the way, I was well got in a wee north. I was promised lands of honey, as far away as the eye could stretch, but I was in exile mourning, even 6 feet there I did not get. I loved many noble women, and the best of them is not from home, but I only got what happened always, lying with clay and kissing stone. I was promised hills and courts and castles, manicured lawns as far as the eye could see. Instead I have this grey, wet graveyard, and that is you, and him, and me. Hey you, who sees this bonehead, for Jesus' sake hear what I say. Go with the spirit, forget the strife. Go with Jesus, he is the way. Listen, 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 listen to me. You have no idea when you croak. He'll come to you when least expected, like a thief in the night and darkened cloak. Remember the judgments put upon me. Life goes on, we're in its toe. Only difference between you and me. I was then, and you are now. I learned the secret of life. Believe me, see my bones, no matter what way you cut it, you're entirely on your own.